Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Morning, folks. We're going to be doing it a bit different this morning. We're going to worship after the sermon. So I'm going to kick off with a message right now. But let's just wait until the offering's taken up and just be in prayer and focus on the Lord while the offering's being taken up. Lord, we just want to thank you for your holy presence. We want to thank you, God, that you are an amazing, amazing, amazing God. A God that we have to discover. A God we have to learn to know. A God that has got so many aspects, so many angles, so many character traits, so much wow in you, God, that it will take us the rest of eternity to slowly grasp maybe 1% of who you are. Lord, we just worship you this morning as a wow God, as an almighty God, as an all-powerful God, as a God that is going to stun us constantly, constantly have us speechless, constantly have us in awe of you. Be glorified by this offering, God. Be glorified by the very breath we breathe. Almighty, almighty, almighty Jesus, we want to invite you, Lord, to just come manifest your presence in this meeting. I want to invite you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Father God, hear our prayer this morning. Come and flood us. Come and inundate us with your magnificence, with your beauty, with your glory, with your awesome splendor. Come, Holy Spirit. You are welcome. Take center stage, Holy Spirit. Sit on the throne of this meeting. Rule and reign in our midst this morning. Rule and reign, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Welcome to each and every one of you. It's great to see you, folks. We've had an amazing convergence weekend, last weekend, and we as pastors had a pastor summit this whole week, and we had really a great time. God really spoke to us, really challenged us. We brainstormed a lot of stuff. We really waited upon God and prayed. Our close Friday afternoon, we went into high praise, and God pitched. God literally manifested his glory as we just entered into his presence, and we could not stop nearly. We just pressed on and pressed in. As we worshipped him, as we praised him with the closing of our pastor summit. And I would say the things that stand out for me of the convergence were basically two messages. And I'm not going to preach on them, but just for your knowledge, the one that stood out for me is the message of we as Christians should not pursue being distinct. The person who needs to be distinct in and through our lives is Jesus only. I mustn't want to stand out. I'm one of sheep. I'm one of many sheep. And it's about his glory. And the other message that stood out is that we really have to trust God to change our hearts, to see our neighbors, to see their lostness, and truly be willing to walk a road with them at our expense. It's going to cost you. Rick Rousseau spoke about loving your neighbor. What does that mean? Literally, literally noticing your neighbor. Literally reaching out to him. Literally, at your expense, saying, I'm going to walk a road with this person for the next year. So those are the two, I would say. Other pastors might have other highlights, and they're free to share them, but I want to share that with you. This morning's message is entitled, Wow. I'm going to start off with a very, very anointed man of God, Smith Wigglesworth. He passed away in 1950-something. Who of you have heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Those of you that haven't heard of him, you can go read a very powerful biography of his life. It's called The Complete Story, Smith Wigglesworth. And I think the writer, I'll have to check for you, is William Wilson. But he made this astounding statement, Smith Wigglesworth, why he was alive. He said, I pull down the power of God. And folks around him were saying, but how can you make that statement? How can you presume that you have got that authority? And they obviously understood it and saw it from a very wrong perspective. They thought he was being arrogant. Many were offended and saying, but how can you make a statement? But you know what? He could make a statement like that because he knew God. He knew God. He was wholly devoted to God. He ate, slept, drank, lived loving Jesus Christ. And it's from that intimate relationship that he could be called an apostle of faith, and he could make a statement like that, that when he pours out all his faith, all his heart to God, focuses on the Lord, serves and loves the Lord 100% with his whole being, his total fiber, all that's within him, when he does that, God reciprocates. God pitches, because it's not a divided focus. There's a one-way focus on Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Nothing and no one else will get his attention. And whatever God says he will do, even at his expense, he will be 100% obedient, because he knows his God. His whole heart is given and devoted to his Most High God. And he knows when he enters in, God reciprocates. God pitches up. God manifests his glory unabated. His worship was undefiled, pure adoration of Jesus Christ. He was totally besotted with God. Hy was versot op die Here. That's the meaning of besotted. He was besotted with the Lord. In a prayer meeting, he had many prayer meetings with pastors. There's one instance, a good friend of him, of his, that would travel with him to different meetings, had heard of this strange phenomena. This friend had heard that whenever Smith Wigglesworth is in a prayer meeting with a group of pastors, they all leave the prayer meeting when he starts to pray. And so this friend undertook that he's not going to leave the prayer meeting. He's going to sit in and pray with the Welsh pastors in Wales, with Smith Wigglesworth, at this prayer meeting. And so at this prayer meeting, each of the pastors start praying, and they start praying, and Smith Wigglesworth isn't praying. And eventually Smith Wigglesworth starts to pray, and he raises up his arms, and he is in connection with God alone. He's totally oblivious to the pastors around him. He's focusing and he's pouring out his heart to the Lord. He is telling God how great God is. He's telling God how awesome this God is. He tells Jesus how much he loves him. He tells the Father, the Holy Spirit. He just pours out absolute adoration, love, and focus on God. And he's having a heavenly temple of God experience. He's entering the presence, the throne room of God. His focus is upon the Lord and the Lord alone. And while he's worshiping, one after the other, the pastors leave. And the man remaining, the colleague that traveled around with him, says he was eventually flat on his face, weeping uncontrollably because of the raw presence of God. That he could not contain this power of God in this room. And he said eventually he realized, I either crawl out or I die. The glory is too much. The glory is too much. And he's flat on his face, and he leopard crawls out of this room, weeping uncontrollably. And the man remaining, standing in, pouring his heart out to the Lord under the light of the Most High God, is Smith Wigglesworth, drinking in the glory of God. Who wants to do that? Who wants to be there? Who wants to have that intimate relationship with the Lord? Only three. I presume we all want that. Do you want it? Then raise your hand. Who wants that? Who hungers after that, man? Talk to me. It will cost you a price. It will cost you a price. What's the price? That you focus on the Lord. That you are besotted with the Lord. That you love the Lord with all your heart. We hear that. We say that. We don't do it. And the challenge of this morning is to encourage you to say, Lord, whatever it will cost me, whatever it will take, I will pay the price to get into such an intimate relationship with you that signs and wonders happen all over around me. Not because of me, but because of you reciprocating my love that I'm showing you, that I'm pouring out to you, because I'm so totally surrendered to your glory. Smith Wigglesworth made the following astounding statements. I'm going to read them to you. There is nothing small about God. Listen to that. You can just sit for the next 10 years and think about that. There's nothing small about your God. And when we understand God, we will find out that there ought not to be anything small about us. When you understand God and you find out, but because your God that says to you, call me Father, you know what a privilege it is for the Creator to say to you and me, when you pray, you say, our Father. Just that sentence, just those two words. We don't realize it goes past us. God is saying, you have the privilege as my children to say to me, my Father, our Father, who art in heaven. And he says, if we realize this amazing power of God, we will realize there is nothing small about us because of this privilege, unsurpassing privilege to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. We must have an enlargement of our conception of God. Enlargement. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Then we will know that we have come to a place where all things are possible for our God. Is an omnipotent God for impossible positions. Your God and my God is an omnipotent God for impossible decisions. God wants to purify our minds until we can bear all things. We cannot contain a certain measure of the wow of God unless we walk the road of purification. Our hearts, our spirits cannot contain the wow of God to the measure that He wants to give it to us unless we surrender all of our flesh. God wants to purify our minds until we can bear all things, believe all things. A shift in your mind, a renewing of your mind, until we can believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Ouch. So you know God so well. You so pursue the Lord. You are so in love. You so love the Lord that you can bear all things. You can contain all things and endure all things because you see everything from His perspective. A perspective of absolute intimacy, a besottedness, a laying down of all that you are for Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. But you and I cannot have this divine power until you live and walk in the Holy Ghost. Until the power of the new life is greater than the old life. And that's the process we're all going through. And that's the challenge of this morning. When God says, love the Lord your God, it's not a request. It's a command. And God is saying to us this morning, my children, I want you to love me. Really love me. Really, 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 really love me. Until when we walk into the when we walk in the Holy Ghost, until the power of the new life is greater than the old life. Never listen to human plans. God can work mightily when you persist in believing Him in spite of discouragement from the human standpoint. Never listen to human plans. God can do surpassingly more than you can dream, think, or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do beyond our wildest dreams and understandings. I am moved by what I believe, He says. I know this. No man looks at the circumstances if he believes. No man looks at circumstances, situations, things around us. None of us look at that if we believe. The secret of spiritual success is a hunger that persists. The secret of spiritual success is a hunger that does not give up. It persists. It is an awful condition. Listen to this. It's an awful condition to be satisfied with one's spiritual attainments. God was and is looking for hungry, thirsty people. If you are at a place where you are satisfied, you're not at the right place, and neither am I if I'm there. To be satisfied with where you are at is not the place God wants you to be at. God was and is always looking for those of us that are hungry, thirsty after righteousness, after Him. It is as we feed on the Word and meditate on the message it contains that the Spirit of God can vitalize that which we have received and bring forth through us the Word of knowledge that will be as full of power and life as when He, the Spirit of God, moved upon holy men of old and gave them these inspired scriptures. When under the Holy Spirit of God, you have totally surrendered, you love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. When you read scripture out of that heart's point of view, that heart's focus, then that same power anointing that was upon David when he wrote the Psalms will come upon you. And you'll be able to write letters that will transform nations and worlds. Because you enter in through surrender. Now I know it will take us our lifetime to come to the place of absolute surrender. And some of us won't even reach it at our deathbed. We'll reach it in our transformed bodies, glorified bodies. But if He's able to reach it by and large on this earth and was used by God mightily, don't you want to reach it sooner than later? And to reach it sooner than later is to say, God, I don't know how to love You, but I want You to show me how to love You. Because I know I must love You. I know I must get to know the wonders, the excesses, the massiveness of who You are. Whatever is in me, help me to use to get to love You and serve You 100%. Catherine Kuhlman. Who of you have heard of Catherine Kuhlman? You can just type her name on YouTube. You'll see messages of hers. You can get books about her. But I read this astounding book many years ago where they had made case study after case. They'd written down case study after case study of healings that took place at her meetings. 15, 20, 25,000 people. She died in the 1970s. She's one of God's generals. Very powerful book you can read is God's Generals by Robert Leiden. The blue one. There are three. And what happened while I was reading this book, it was astounding healings, astounding moves of God. And it's one story after another of people that have diseases I cannot even start pronouncing. And people that were in bed for 20 years and were sick and were on death row, their deathbeds, and they're about to die. And how they get brought in with stretchers and beds and wheelchairs and how they raised up and healed. And 10 years later, they tell their story. And many of her meetings were like such. She would stand and start worshiping God while they looking at her. That's after the worship. she would just enter into the presence of God. And she would tell God how wonderful He is to her. How great He is. And how much she loves Him. And she just would pour out her heart of absolute adoration and worship and love to God. And while she's worshiping God through prayer, people were being healed. God reciprocated because of her intimate relationship with Him. Because of her surrender to Him. Because of her giving over to Him. Stephen Lungu mentioned this powerful testimony at the Namibia men's camp earlier this year. He said his grandchild came to him and she said to him, I don't know what they call opas in Malawian language, but in any case, she said, Grandfather, doesn't make sense to me. How can people just walk around the throne room of God and keep saying, glory to God, hallelujah, worship you, Lord, worship you, Lord. How can they just walk around God's throne room, around His throne, and keep worshiping Him? Don't they get bored? I've been doing it for thousands of years. Has that question ever come to any of you? The little, the young, and some of us have had that. And he's learned that when a grandchild or anyone asks him a question, especially such a profound question that none of us really have the answer for, because we've never been there, he just realized, but he's going to go pray. And he prayed and fasted for 3 days, searching and seeking. Closed the door behind him, canceled all appointments, separated himself unto the Lord, and seek the Lord for an answer. And day 3, God took him in the spirit to the throne room. And he saw how all these millions upon millions of people and angels, the 24 elders, how they were worshiping God. And he says, as they move around the Lord shows them another glory that He exemplifies, another aspect of who He is. And it is so awe-inspiring. It is so astounding. It is so beyond all of their understanding. They cannot help but say, glory to God. And as they move, God shows them something else. Glory to God. And as they move, worship you. Hallelujah. Literally by who He is and what He shows them in the throne room, they cannot help but worship Him with all of their hearts, all of their minds, all of their strength, because they sing aspects of our God that is beyond our wildest imaginations. And they cannot help but worship Him constantly. And after those 3 days, after having this out-of-body experience, whatever it was, glorious time, he came out the room and he just said to them, I'm not going to share with you. I just need to sit with you for the next day and just assimilate, digest what I've been exposed to. And in that day, he just sat there, and then the next day he said, let me tell you what I experienced. This is what I saw. It takes a sacrifice. It took a sacrifice from him to experience God at that extent, to that level. At his expense, he had to really lay down his program, his priorities, other interests, and say, I am 100% devoted to you, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Nothing else matters. I'm going to show us a video now. Are you ready? Of 1.5 minutes of where Catherine Kuhlman is speaking to the Oral Roberts University students. And the question they asked her to answer is, what is the secret of your success? Why does God use you like this, the way He does? Are you more special? Why does God use you? And it's a whole message. There's 6 parts to the message, and on average, it's about 12 minutes per 6. So it's 1.5 hours message that she gives it, but I've just taken 1.5 minutes that I believe is the key to why God used it the way He did. Let's watch together.
Can't manufacture. I only pray you'll understand. You live for just one. You breathe for just one. Just one really matters, really. Just one. You live to please him. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Keep me. There are millions out there. But I have eyes for just one. Keep me. I really love just one. Really. Really.
I want to read what she said. Maybe some of you could not catch her words. She said, "You can't manufacture it. I only pray you will understand you live for just one. You breathe for just one. Just one really matters. Really just one. You live to please him. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Keep me. There are millions out there, but I have eyes for just one. Keep me. I really love just one. Really, really." I'd like each one of us just to become quiet right now and respond to this. Each one on your own. Let's respond to this as the Spirit talks to your heart. Father, we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Abba, Father. Holy Spirit, give us where we fall short, Lord. transform us where we lack. Let us become totally besotted with you. Lord, let us give you full measure of our adoration, of our worship. We are sorry, I am sorry, for all the neglect where I've neglected this, Lord, neglected you, where we have neglected you, Father. Father, as this anointed woman, daughter of yours, says, really, really, really love you. Lord, we need to obey that command. We struggle, God. But I pray that you would explode within each one of us a really, really, really love for you. That we would love you above all else and everything else. Doers, doers of the word. I ask in Jesus' most beautiful name, Father, that as we discover you, we get so overwhelmed by your goodness, that all we want to do is be with you, that nothing else lures us, nothing else draws us, but the only thing we are drawn to is you and you alone. Amen. The Bible speaks of a mustard seed, and if we have the faith of a mustard seed, if we have that kind of obedience of believing as little as a mustard seed, God responds with a massive reciprocal action. He can move mountains. He can do whatever we ask him to do. And it's as if the Lord responds, reciprocates, is compelled by our faith. And I say that very respectfully. God is not compelled by anyone. But God is who he is. He limits himself by his own word. God cannot operate outside of his word. He cannot operate outside of who he says he is. He is who he is. He's not a man that he can lie like you and I. And God responds to that kind of love. In John, we see a very powerful story. John 13, 21 to 26. It speaks of where Christ is troubled at the Last Supper. And he says to the disciples, one of you are going to betray me. And they look at each other, they're totally dumbfounded. They cannot understand how any of them can betray Christ. They can't believe that he would say something like this. And Peter, you'll see that in that scripture that's up there. Peter motions to John like this. You ask him. Why would Peter ask John to ask Jesus? Have you thought of that? Because John was the most intimate with Christ. John loved Christ for who he is, not for what he can do for him. And that's why Peter motions to John, you ask him. And when John asks, Christ gives the answer right away. He does not withhold. Immediately he responds. And he says to him, the one to whom I'm going to give this piece of bread is the one that's going to betray me. And he dips the piece of bread and he gives it to Judas. And still they just cannot fathom that it's Judas. But he gave the answer. God answers prayers and moves in response to our absolute devotion and love of him. He makes things possible. Scripture says everything is created by him and through him. John 1 verse 1 to 5. Everything is created by him and through him. Out of everything comes out of him. God responds to undivided devotion from you. He responds in massive glory. In the fullness of the joy would consume you. And what are the benefits of the fullness of joy? Signs and wonders and miracles and healings. The kingdom descends on earth. The kingdom manifests in your midst. Because you are giving him 100% love. as much as you can. You are wrestling. You are devoted. You are saying, whatever it takes, I will love God. Love the Lord with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength. Everything. I will love you. I will love you. I will love you. My God, I love you with all my heart, all my strength. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. Three personalities, yet one God. They are in each other. They are out of each other. They move from one another. That speaks of powerful intimacy. They are totally, absolutely devoted to one another. They are absolutely interdependent of one another. They're absolutely intimate with one another. They're absolute in unity with one another. They're absolutely surrendered to one another. They have absolute love for one another. God wants us in that. God wants us to become part of that. That's why He's going to marry you one day. He's going to marry you as a man. Isn't that crazy? It isn't crazy, but for some of it is. We are His bride. There's going to be a very powerful and a very glorious wedding feast. A marriage feast between the bride, Jesus, and the bridegroom. We're going to marry Him one day. So when you marry your wife, does she lay down her life for you and you lay down your life for her? He's laid down His life for us, Ephesians 5, and He says we must lay down our lives for Him and we must exemplify that, live it out in our marriages. Just a symbol, just a shadow of the great marriage is going to take place, of the great relation between Father and God and His wife, and we become one with Him. We become part of Him. That's the intimacy that God wants with you, son and daughter of the Most High God. He wants you to be absolutely devoted. He wants you and me to be absolutely dependent on Him and strive for absolute intimacy, absolute unity, absolute surrender, and absolute love and focus on Him. Love the Lord your God. Be obedient, Mac, be obedient. And then you'll see a thing coming. Then the miracles happen. Then people are encouraged, renewed, challenged, blessed, changed. Who wants to be an agent of change for God? Seen like never before. Not to be distinct, to be one of millions that God wants to raise up in His body. If you want to, then just obey that simple command. Mac, just obey that simple command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. The Lord uses the word love 51 times in the New Testament, of which many of that is love me. Twice in Revelations when He manifests to John, 180 times in the New Testament where different writers use the word love. Psalm 25 verse 14 speaks of with whom God shares His secrets. God shares things of the kingdom, shares His secrets. Psalm 25 verse 14, it speaks of the Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. You love God with all your heart, all your mind. You have such respect for God, such an awe, wonder, fear of the Lord. He'll reveal and ignite and release Himself to you. And that and all the fringe benefits of having God pitch. Who knows, when God pitches, things are changed. Things are turned upside down, inside out. Things never will stay the same when the Lord pitches. Through loving Him and surrendering to Him, He trusts us to show us. When we love and surrender to Him, as that scripture says, confides in us, He will trust you and me to show us who He is. Would you trust someone that is half devoted to you and half to something else with the full measure of your secrets? Would you, Kumi? No, she won't. Who of you will trust to reveal who you are to someone that loves you amongst many other loves they have? Would you? wouldn't. How can we expect it from God? Is it fair to expect from God? But this man and this woman, Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, that lived in the last century, they gave all they had. And God reciprocated. He gave back. He manifested his fullness of joy and the glory that comes with it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are one. In that intimate place, an atmosphere gets released. An atmosphere that gets released when Smith Wigglesworth prays and they cannot contain. Their spirits have not been exercised to contain that power of God. They're unpracticed. They're unexercised. They're not 100% devoted. They have to run out of the room because a man that truly loves God is pouring his heart out to God. And God is coming back with full force. And he can handle it. He can stand in the raw, awesome splendor of the Most High God because he's given all to God. He truly loves the Lord with all his heart, all his mind, all his strength. He's given absolute love, absolute devotion, absolute dependency, absolute intimacy, absolute in unity with God, absolute surrender, absolute focus on the Lord. I'm closing off now. Just 4 points and I close off. There are 4 steps to achieving this love, this focus, this devotion to the Lord. 4 basic steps that we need to choose for and ask Him for to help us. So it's us in covenant, us in partnership with the Lord, working together to say, God, I want to practice your word that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. I want to do it. I choose to do it. Help me. There are 4 basic steps. The first is awareness. And I believe after this morning, you're at a place of being really aware of the powerful importance of loving the Lord your God. Are you aware of that? Nobody is aware. Who's this morning aware already that nothing else is more important in your life? Who's aware? Those that don't raise their hands are not aware. Who's aware? Come, talk to me. Respond. Start with an awareness. Okay, Lord, I've been running after this and that and who knows what, and now you are lovingly slapping me this morning. Who feels lovingly slapped this morning? Okay. Back to focusing on what matters in your kingdom. So I become aware. And awareness leads to acknowledgement. You acknowledge, my God, I need to love you with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength. I need to, like Catherine Kuhlman said, really, really, really have eyes only for you. I acknowledge that. And acknowledgement flows into appreciation. Appreciation of Him starts overpowering, starts surpassing other appreciations. So it's an awareness, an acknowledgement, an appreciation. That you say, God, now my heart is becoming more besotted about you than about everything else. More than even my own child that I've just received as a gift from you. Even my cycling, even my sport, even my weekends out, even my wife, my husband, even my parents, even my income. I am appreciating you now more than everything this life can offer. The only offer I receive is loving you. Can I have a loud amen to that? Can we try that one more time? Can we try that one more time? Can we try that one more time? One more time! Guys, I don't know how more. I don't have the words. I don't have the words for myself. I don't know how more to say. We need to start really, really loving Jesus. Really more than anything else. I don't know how more to shout that, scream that, humiliate myself to do that, because I will. Like David danced in a linen cloth before the ark, because he said, I am nothing. I am nothing. It's all about you, God. It's about you, God. A man God called, a man after his own heart, with all his mistakes. God's not worried about that. Where was his heart? His heart was 100% stayed, focused, loving God. That's all that matters. And this appreciation that starts to surpass all other appreciations will grow to adoration, the four A's. Adoration. What does it look like when you adore someone? Have you seen a couple that have just gotten engaged? Have you seen that lady's face when she looks at her ring and she looks? Sy kyk na haar verloofde. She looks at her, help me, what's the English? Her fiance. She looks, have you seen that? Who's not seen that? Who has seen that? Same, the girls feel put on the spot. Don't worry, just accept it. You are adoring your ring and your husband to be. Have you seen that face? Oh, look at my ring. Oh, dearie, look at this. Oh, and they just show it. Or they are celebrating. They are bragging. They boasting. And shame the poor other girls that aren't engaged. Yes, it's very nice. Yeah, but actually, I wish it was me. Huh? Have you seen that? Who's been guilty of being a little bit jealous? Come on, ladies, be honest. There's an honest one. Oman Fanyela. All of you. Oh. But that absolute adoration of God. Awareness, acknowledgement, appreciation, adoration. This adoration leads to being totally besotted with the Lord. Another point, and this is my last point. How can you adore, acknowledge, appreciate, be aware without it being an expression of absolute faith? Can you truly adore, appreciate, be aware, be besotted about someone, love them with all your heart, without that being the largest expression of undeniable, unshakable faith in God? Can it be? Because when you give all of your heart, you really believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, my God lives, my God loves me, and I'm wholly, wholly devoted to Him. These two people that I spoke of, Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, even Stephen Lungu, but those two raised many from the dead, had many things, but they never fell into the trap of giving God plastic love. What is plastic love? It's loving God for what He can do and not for who He is. With all the appraisal, with all the praise of man, there's a proverb that says, as a crucible is to silver and a furnace is to gold, so the praise of man tests a man's heart. With all the praise, all the adoration of all the powerful miracles that God was doing through their lives, through all of that, they didn't care. They were just so overwhelmed with the reality, the goodness, the power, the wow of God. They just loved Him. That's why she says what she says. I mean, she's at the pinnacle of God using her on this earth. And she says, with all the millions, it means nothing to me. I want to tell you, I really, really, really love Jesus. And when you show that love, it shows absolute faith. And when you show that absolute faith, God reciprocates. Salvations take place around you. There's stories of people that Charles Finney, I know, would get on a bus or a train and just stand there often and say nothing. And people would fall on their knees convicted of their sin and come to him and say, "We know you have the answer," and he'd lead them to Christ. The presence of God moves with men and women that say, "I love the Lord." Not only in my mouth, but in my heart and my mind and my whole being. I love the Lord with all that I am. All my strength, all my power, everything. I love Jesus. We're going to worship God now. That's the reason we didn't worship before the sermon. Whatever God tells you to do right now, do it when we worship Him. Whatever you know you need to think of when singing these songs, do it now. Surrender right now. Richard, we can start. Surrender right now to this worship, to the words, to what God is guiding you to do and say. Let's abandon ourselves to starting a real, real process of adoration of Jesus and Jesus only.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.